Let me see if I can find this.
It is time to cast off words, darkness.
Yeah, you found it. It's right here. It is time. Once again, it's time to lift up the name and to call time what it is. It's God's. Let's redeem it. And let's get involved with something right away. Let's put the pedal to the metal, put it in gear. And come on, let's tell our soul, let's get going. Come on, my soul, rise up and give God some praise. We want to just get right into it. This is the Wren Collective Experience. Come on, my soul. It's time to praise God. It's time to tear down the walls and let something good happen from heaven. You can join in. Come on, my soul. Exactly what it is. It's time to come on, my soul, and give God what's due him. Isn't that mighty to think about that? That God is due something? Hello, my name is Ed Gutfeld. We're glad that you joined us. It is time, for it is time. This is a timely broadcast with a timely message in the times of the Gentiles, for the times and seasons of our lives. Yeah. You know, it's good to know when you're on target. It's good to know when you're on message. It's good to know when you're smack dab in the center of the will of the master. And that way you can sleep well at night. You can put your head on the pillow and say, oh my goodness, I'm in God's will. And somebody said, well, that could be presumptuous. But, you know, the scripture does say that rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Isn't that amazing? And when you do what's right in the will of God, and you have that sense of everything's in its place, you know, it's everything is where it's supposed to be. My heart is where it's supposed to be. My head is where it's supposed to be. My attention is where it's supposed to be. Then when there's compromise, oh, you can see compromise coming around the corner. Yeah, he'll be coming around the corner when he comes. And he'll be riding six white horses, but they won't really be white. They'll be painted white. They'll be full of darkness, getting you to compromise. Compromise somebody said, what is compromise? You know, compromise really is a step out of love. It's when you cut love. If love was a pie, compromise takes a piece of that pie out and pretends like it's full. You ever take a piece of pie and you squeeze the pie a little bit closer? You know, if it's not in a pan, it's just there on a plate, and you squeeze it closer together, it's actually a full pie, but it's smaller. And hopefully you can put some whipped cream on there and make everything look right. But actually, you did wrong. You stole the piece of pie, and now it's not a whole pie. It's become compromised. Well, that's what Step Out of Love does. It takes away from what is real and true. And love is probably one of the greatest qualities. We don't even have a theme for today. We're just taking it one song at a time, one thought at a time. We're just flowing with God. But love is probably the most awesome thought about all the kingdom of God, because God is love. Isn't that amazing? God is love. That's exactly true. And you can have a truth, and you can be real mental and real what we would call intellectual, and you can be all these things, but if you don't have love, oh my gosh. The Bible said you're a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You're nothing. You can give your body to be burned, but if you don't have love, you are nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. And then Paul goes on and talks in 1 Corinthians 13 about love. We might do a show on love. It sounds like we're developing that way, but I want us to go ahead and start with Barry McGuire. And this is a song called Love Is.
I love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul.
Yeah, it sounds like we might do a show on love. I don't know. We're going to have to see where it goes. I enjoy this song by Barry McGuire, and it's called Love Is.
Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, love is gentle, love is kind, and love is given, but it's not. Love is choosing for the right, rejecting the wrong. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy is keeping his commands. Greater love hath no man than he laid down his life for a friend. Love never ends. Thou shalt love the Lord is quiet, love is strong, and love is patient, suffering long. Where love lives, there is no fear.
Now can you hear?
as thy sail.
That's Barry McGuire and Love Is. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Everybody sort of knows that scripture, but that scripture never is, it's a lot of people look at it as like first grade, you know. God so loved the world. Yeah, I heard that. And we sometimes even walk our Christian walk and maybe 5 years, 6 years, 7, 8, 10 years later, I know that. Boy, if you ever get to that place, oh my goodness, call somebody up and say, I need prayer. Don't ever get to that place to say, well, I know that. God so loved the world. Yeah, but God so loved the world. That's the immenseness of that thought. Because love, God instituted a new love. He brought a new word. Jesus, when he came to the earth, he brought a new word with him. He brought a new word with him called agape or agape. And it's a love that has never been known before. It took the cross to demonstrate it. And that he so loved the world, the Father so loved the world that he gave his son. And whoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life, because that love is astounding. And without love, you know, think about this for just a moment. Think about getting married. You know, marriage is an incredible thing that is makes no sense at all when you think about it. Who wants to share a house with somebody? Who wants to share a checkbook with somebody? Who wants to share a restroom, a bathroom with somebody? You know what I mean? Outside of the, you know, the obvious aspects of the benefits of marriage, when it comes down to day-to-day living, you're actually sharing your life with somebody. Now, don't get me wrong. It's the most beautiful thing when you meet the right person and you see that person and you go, oh yeah, okay, this makes sense now. But just as a thought, you go, okay, I'm going to get married and share everything with somebody. And what if it's somebody that somebody picked for you and said, here, share it with this person. You must share it with this person. Like sometimes in other cultures, they have in marriages that are put together. You didn't even pick the person. And that would be a very difficult thing. I know some people, even in the world today, I've been in different parts of the world, that their marriage was put together by their parents. And it took them a long time to grow close because they weren't naturally attracted to that person. But the point I'm making is that you think about it, no, I don't want to do it. It's too hard. It's too expensive. I mean, but the moment you meet the right person, all bets are off. Thank you, Lord. I know from personal experience, all bets are off. I said, I'm not going to get married till I'm 25. Well, I met Sherry and all bets were off. I lost $100, but I gained a beautiful wife. And I'm thankful that I made that decision and was led by God. And she was brought into my life by God. And that has been 33 years ago as of this podcast. And that is amazing because everything was, hey, all reasoning and all that was gone when I met the right person. And I said, that's it. I'm married forever now. And that's a beautiful thing because it's real love. Sometimes we think we love, but we don't. But here's the thing. We can love our neighbor as ourselves. We really can. Why? Because God so loved the world. He showed us how to do it by giving his son. And we can follow his footsteps. In the name of Jesus. This is Hillsongs. God so loved the world. John 3:16. Thank you, Lord.
So love the word that he gave.
Yeah, people can say what they want, but there's nothing greater than the love of God. There's nothing greater. There's nothing more powerful. There's nothing more satisfying. There's nothing more fulfilling than God's love. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, the tongues of men and angels, and have not love, I've become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods, to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. It never comes to an end. And so if you look at these words a little bit differently, love endures long and is patient, kind. Love is never envious, nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily, is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride, is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. I love this. Love, God's love, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking, is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it and pays no attention to a wrong suffered. Oh my goodness, that's off the chart. That is so far off the chart. It's not even funny. Do we really know, even in the Christian world, come on now, do we actually live a life that is not self-seeking and takes no account of the evil done to it and pays no attention to a wrong suffered? Are we touchy and fretful? And to be a person that's not touchy, not feely, and not easily hurt is amazing. It's an amazing quality to have. Not insist on your own way, not self-seeking, not touchy, fretful, or resentful. Takes no account of evil done to it. Pays no attention to wrong suffered. Some of the mannerisms that we have, we just consider them, well, that's just the way we are. We're just people. But is there a better way to live? Is there a higher way to live? I believe there is. Because the Romans 5:5 says, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, which was given unto us. That becomes a whole new way of living. If we are a believer and we have the Holy Spirit, I want you to know something. There is a new kind of love now flowing. And we're just putting this together as this program unfolds. I'm just picking songs as we talk. This song reminds me so much of this scripture, and this scripture reminds me so much of this song. I've heard it for years. It's an older song by David Ingalls. Very different style of music, but the words, listen to the words. It's just amazing how quickly he gets right to the point. There is a new kind of love now flowing. Hallelujah. Receive it in your heart.
A new commandment give I unto you. Love each other just as I've loved you. By this shall all men see that you belong to me. If you have love each brother for the other, there's a new kind of love now flowing. It's the love of Jesus in my heart. Those who know me well now can plain to tell, there's a new kind of love now flowing. Thank you. passed from death to life. And we love our brothers deep inside. Love is giving more and never keeping score. The kind of love that seeketh not its own. There's a new kind of love now flowing. It's the love of Jesus in my heart. Those who know me well now can plain tell. There's a new kind of love now flowing. There's a new kind of love. There's a new kind of love now flowing.
Yeah, that's David Ingles, and the song's called A New Kind of Love. Why can we say it's a new kind of love? Because when God so loved the world, he brought a word into the earth. And the only way it could be translated is the word agape or agape. And the whole idea of communion was called agape feasts. When God, in order to describe what was going on, the partaking of communion, the giving of the elements, the giving of the bread and the cup, and to look upon that and say, this is an agape feast. This is how God loves us. This is how you do it. This is what it looks like. It looks like the total laying down of your life. And there's so many situations that are, we live by preference. We don't live, for the most part, people don't live by love. They live by preference. And I realize that not everything can be completely as much love as you want it to be, because there's so many unlovely people and there's so many unfaithful people and so many dangerous people that, for instance, you can't just go down a street and just hand out money to everybody because you love everybody, because there's a lot of people who are lazy and a lot of people don't want to work and a lot of people who take advantage. I know, I've done enough street work to know that. I know where most of the money goes when you give it to somebody on the streets. It goes right to the liquor store. And don't tell me it doesn't, because I've been there, done that, and watched it. And, you know, you give food instead and people don't want the food. They want the, so, you know, all that stuff can be complicated in your mind, except, you know, there was a young man by the name of Trevor, and Trevor just saw a lot of homeless people. And, you know, he just started going out and handing out blankets and coats. Nobody told him, yeah, you better be careful, young man. Well, he had people go with him and so forth, but he ended up with a huge ministry, wrote a book and a movie about it, and God did an amazing thing through somebody who's just said, you know what? I don't care if people don't receive it the proper way. I'm just gonna look for the ones that will receive it the right way. And that's what love does. Love doesn't consider a wrong suffering. He doesn't say, oh, some people are not gonna like this. Well, who cares? You just go do it anyway. And love does what love does, because love is love. It's like one man said, he said that humility never looks back to see if it was. Because the characteristic of humility is, I don't need to know that I was humble. I just do what I do. It's just, you know, an apple tree just has apples. It doesn't see, you know, look at the orange tree to see if it is truly an apple tree. It just does what it does. And when God's love gets inside of us, it just does what it does. Why? Because love is powerful. The love of God is more powerful than unforgiveness. The love of God is more powerful than resentment. The love of God is more powerful than bitterness. The love of God is more powerful than jealousy. Man, there are some people that are just racked with jealousy. You say, well, people have sown seeds of jealousy in me. They treated me a certain way and it caused me to be jealous. I understand that. That's happened to probably everybody. But you don't understand the power to forgive. God, you know, his love is greater than that. And you turn that person over to God. If you're the caretaker of that person's life and you're the jealous one, you better get rid of that. That thing will kill you. Jealousy is ugly. And there's no trust in jealousy, no trust in God. But if you say, God, you know, this is a situation used to cause me to be jealous, I turn it over to you. Guess what? God goes to working in that situation. Whatever we control, God can't. Oh, that'll preach right there. Whatever we control, God can't. God won't. But whatever we turn loose of, God will step in and show his hand mightily. Oh, there's a new kind of love flowing right now. And I love this song. Again, it's a Hillsong, and I'm not looking for Hill's song or that song or that. I'm just looking for a song that'll fit right in here. And I believe this song is "The Power of Your Love." It's a very popular song. But it says it all. And so let's listen to the words. Let it minister life to our hearts.
Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed. Renew. Flowing from the grace that I found in you.
That's the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That is the power of His love. God can cause us to rise above like the eagle just cause us to rise above the things of this world. Glory to God. That's what God can do for us. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that didn't happen just once. He keeps on loving us. And I think there's something about this scripture that really needs to be brought out, especially John 3:16, as we stay very simple on the program, that it says that God so loved the world, which, you know, hallelujah, he gave his only begotten son. And some people think that the God of the Old Testament is just some old, you know, crotchety guy who gets up in the morning angry. He's got a big long beard and can't wait to just take out his wrath on nations and people and places and things. But the Bible tells us that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, when God said he was going to destroy the world because of the sin that was in Sodom, and God was going to destroy everything because of sin, he said, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you something. I'm going to name this child here. And when he dies, the end of the world's going to come. That's what's going to happen. I'm telling you right now, when he dies, the end of the world is going to happen, as the world as we know it, as they knew it. And so his name was Methuselah, which means when you die, the end of the world comes. The end comes. And so Methuselah just happened to live the longest that anybody has ever lived on the earth. What does that tell you? That tells you that God didn't pick somebody who's going to die at 5 years old. He didn't pick somebody who would die at 30 years old. He picked someone who would die, would live the longest on the earth to give people a chance to repent, to give people a chance to change their mind, to change their heart, to give people a chance to turn from their wickedness and to turn back to God. And allow the comfort of God to come and bring them back to him. What's so foreign about God's love is the fact that the majority of people don't want it, don't believe in it, don't need it. And so it makes you feel like an outsider if you believe in it, if you experience it. So he said, well, you're just full of pride. You think you know God better than me. I never said that to anybody. You know, but I know how people react. I know that people don't want God's love. And they don't want things to change. They like what they're doing. They like their idols. They like their idolatry. They like their little gods that they can see, touch, smell, taste. And I was like that too. We love the little comfort things we put around us. We'd rather have those things than love our neighbor as ourself. But God's changing that, because he didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world. He sent his son that through Jesus the world might be saved. But I believe there's a fresh revelation of the Father's love. Ben Farrell wrote a song about the Father's love, and it's just a real simple song, but it's got powerful, powerful meanings. This song's called The Father's Love.
No one ever loved his child quite the same. There's such a tenderness in his voice when he calls my name. Still I can't imagine what price he was willing to pay. Make all my dreams come true. It's my Father's love that I cannot comprehend. My Father's love, he's my maker, he's my friend. And I guess one day I'll understand, when I take a little hand, why my Father's love never let me down. I see myself in him, and he sees himself in me. I wish there was more of him and a little less of me. Oh yes, but I'm trying hard. I what he wants me to be. I want to make his dreams come true. It's my Father's love that I cannot comprehend. It's my Father's love. He's my maker, he's my friend. And I guess one day I'll understand, every time I take a little hand, why my Father's love never let me, never let me. He will never let me down.
Yeah, that's The Father's Love by Ben Farrell off the Tender Mercies album. And that's what God has to give us. You know, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We've said this scripture over and over, and we're just going to keep on saying it because, you know, it's just amazing how much he really loves us and how much he wants to just take care of us and bless us and pour into us that great spirit. There's a song by Delirious called I Could Sing of Your Love Forever.
Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let them hear us set you free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily refine, for I will always say, when your love came down, of your love, I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love. I could sing of your love.
Yeah, we can sing of his love forever. Hallelujah. This is Hillsong. Your love is beautiful. There's nothing quite the love of God, quite like the love of God, to cause us to stand up without shame and just praise him. Let's sing it with them. Join in the praise.
Yeah.
That's Hillsong, Your Love is Beautiful. And God, we thank you for unveiling your love to us today and showing us not just in the cross, but also in song about the cross. Modern day examples of love. Lord, people have forgiven because they've seen the cross. People have changed completely from being haters to lovers, from being takers to givers, from being criticizers to those who bring words of edification. Man, we need edification. Edification is something that's brought about by love. And love is the most powerful thing. You bring a word of edification to somebody, you can change their entire life. That's why we've put together Team Edify. God's given us this little button. It's this little colorful button. And you put it on and you just walk around and people say, "What's that? What's that?" And that's just one way to use it. But it reminds us to be people of edification. And we want you to join in with us. We're looking for 1 million people. And we'd like to be able to count on you. Hello, this is Ed Gutfeld, and I want to announce to you that there's a new team in town. It's Team Edify. We're running out the bullies of fear, doubt, and despair because Team Edify has taken over. This team is called to build up, strengthen, and cause to overcome. We're calling for 1 million men and women, boys and girls, to lock arms and declare the word of edification in our homes, schools, on the job, in the church, and throughout the marketplaces of the world. We are a simple yet mighty team who have made a decision that each and every day we will receive edification for our lives, bring edification to those around us, and give edification away to someone new each day. As a team member, you'll receive our unique and colorful Edify button, lifetime membership card, daily prayer, and access to daily edification through videos, testimonies, and social network. To join the Edify revolution, simply log on to edifyforlife.org and follow the simple steps. We live in troubled times, full of deception, lies, and depression, but we can make a difference bearing the glad tidings of edification. Again, the website is edifyforlife.org. Join in today. Be one in a million at edifyforlife.org. That's edifyforlife.org. That's right, and we want you to join in, lock arms with us, and let's do something and absolutely destroy the enemy's day, Satan's day, and every doubter, fault finder, and let's just do something great for heaven. Amen? Hey, one of the great things I've ever learned about love is it's not a feeling. It's absolutely not a feeling. If you're waiting for a goosebump to tell you you love your neighbor as yourself, you better quit it. You better find your anchored in the truth of God, because God is the only one that can love the way you need to love, and he's the only one that can give us his Holy Spirit to love the way we need to love. So love is not a feeling. This is a song by Don Francisco, and it's called Love Is Not a Feeling.
So you say you can't take it. Die for you because it was fun. He hung
singer for love because it had to be done. And in spite of the anguish, his word was fulfilled. His love is not a feeling, it's an act of your will. Love is not a feeling, it's an act of your will.
That's the truth. Love is not a feeling. It's an act of our will. And our wills can be lined up with heaven. You can will to love somebody. You can will to love someone who doesn't love you. That doesn't mean you have to have dinner with them every night. But you can will to love them. And this is so obviously, this was written as a song for marriage. But the principle is still the same. A lot of people feel like, well, I don't love that person anymore. You can command love. You can command yourself to love. Yes, you can. Because love is not a feeling, and it's an act of your will. And you say, I choose to love. And you'd be surprised what happens to resentments and thoughts like that. I know some people that you know, the feelings between them are so cold. It's like an iceberg. But yet, when people fall in love with God and let God love them first, you have to get love from heaven first. It has to be something from heaven. It can't be just this earthly stuff. It can't be just a Hallmark card or like one guy said, it can't be just sticky, gooey, taffy kind of love. You know, it just melts under the pressure. But praise God, it's this rock of Gibraltar kind of love that's just boom and nothing. The Bible said many waters cannot quench love. That's because it's put there by God. And God is the one who authored it. God is the one who causes it to be true. And so we are a people of love. Love is not a feeling. It's an act of our will, and we thank God for that. Hey, let's do one more song. Casting Crowns wrote a great song called Your Love. Oh yeah, is extravagant. There's nothing cheap about God's love. It's absolutely extravagantly poured out in Christ.
Your love is extravagant. It is intimate. I feel I'm moving to the rhythm of your grace. Your fragrance is intoxicating in a secret place. 'Cause your love is extravagant. Capture my heart, yeah. Your love is extravagant. Your friendship. Fragrance is intoxicating in a secret place, and your love is extravagant. Spread wide in the arms of Christ is a love that covers sin. Your friend, spread a wide. capture my heart again.
That's a powerful song, isn't it? Your love is extravagant. That's our God. God is not cheap about anything. God doesn't put veneers on cheap stuff and try to sell it for more than what's worth. Glory to God, He so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son. You know what He says about that? He's paying the same price for you as His Son. You're worth as much as the Son of God. Wow. That tells me that God values us and puts a high price on our life. Would to God that every word we speak bespeak that kind of value. Man, just close your eyes for just a moment and just see the value of the cross to the heart of the Father God. And then see the value that He places on you. And then see the value on those around you. That's where you got to get it. You got to get it in the Spirit. And then you can take it in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom we shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. Man, I would exhort you to go find somebody. Maybe you haven't told them in a long time. Maybe it's your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister. Just tell them you love them. Email them and send them a text message. Snail mail them. I don't care. Whatever you do, do it. Call your pastor up. Say, we love you guys. We love you guys. Thank you so much. Tell the people in your church, man, I love you guys. Thank you for being an usher. Thank you for being a greeter. Thank you for coming to church. Thank you for working with the kids. Just get it. Fall in love. Let God do a thing of love. God can change this whole world around with one scripture. He so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. There's a new kind of love flowing. That's that agape love. It's the kind of love you have when you take communion and you know the price that's been paid. Well, praise the Lord. That's all the time we have for this broadcast. And hey, if you can, call up some neighbors and tell them about the broadcast. Tell them about the podcast. We can go on, if you haven't, go on iTunes. Just type in Ed Gutfeld and all those podcasts will come up. And send a link to a friend or two. And let's spread the word, because you know what? We're reaching out. We're touching people's lives, maybe in a little different format than before. But hey, it works. It's beautiful. It's God's word. We appreciate you so very much for helping us, praying for us. And those of you that are actually contributing financially, that is so beautiful. Thank you so much. We just appreciate that. And I'd like to thank Greg Amon for helping me with some of the music, and Alan Gutfeld for the production. We appreciate you guys so very much. Oh, go to edifyforlife.org and get hooked up with us. Let's win 1 million people to be edifiers all over the world. Amen. It's time to flip the switch of faith on, because it's time. It is time to keep telling the world the greatness of our God. Don't delay. Don't put anything off, because it's white hot time for God. It's time to trust the Lord, put your faith in Him, because there's no other time like the present. It is time.